Under Deborah's direction, Barak's army had defeated the army of the Canaanite a king by the name of Jabin, and had won Israel's freedom of being under his oppression for almost 20 years. And with that victory, as common in the Israelite world, a song was written and recorded in the ledger of the Holy Scripture. Such songs were not uncommon. If you will remember, back whenever they went through the Red Sea, Moses wrote a song and delivered it to the people. After they came out of that crossing where Pharaoh's army was defeated and his horse and his riders were thrown into the sea. And in that same passage in Exodus chapter 15, Miriam, the sister of Moses, led the women to sing in a song also. And on the last day of Moses' life, he gave the nation of Israel a song that is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And that song contained prophecies and promises concerning the future of Israel's people. And as we come here to chapter 5, here in the book of Judges, chapter 5, in the book of Judges, we come to this point where Deborah writes and she sings a song to Israel with the help of Barak. So the song of Deborah and Barak is no doubt Deborah's creation. And Barak will participate in the singing of this song, as we're going to see in verse 1. And in that day, I want to tell you ahead of time, in that day, new songs were sung in what we call an antiphonal mode. Now let me explain that. What does that mean? It means that a person would sing a short line or a verse, and then another person would lead the rest of the congregation in repeating that line or verse that was just sung. And I want to tell you this. I remember when I was a child, this is how we learned songs. For example, one of my favorite songs, and I do not know why it was one of my favorite songs, but it was, because it had so many different verses and you could just kind of keep making them up. When we learned it the first time, in fact, every time you sang it, it was sung like this. The leader would sing, "Old Hiram's Goat," and then we would all repeat the words with the exact same melody, and we'd sing, "Old Hiram's Goat," and the leader would sing, "Is a feeling fine," and we'd say, "Is a feeling fine," and we'd go on with the song. That's antiphonal. One sings one part, people repeat it in this antiphonal mode. This same method would be used here in Deborah's song as she taught it to the nation, because it was done with Deborah and it was done with Barak. Now, the words are not repeated here in the song, so it's not exactly that way, but that's the way the melody would and the words would have been learned by the people. So the text begins with the explanation of Deborah's song. The explanation of Deborah's song. This explanation was not part of the song. Rather, it is the writer's introduction to the song, and it begins here in chapter 5, verse 1. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying. The creative intellect and divine leadership of Deborah will soon be evident in her part in this song. And according to this verse, the following song was written. It was delivered to the people, and we believe it was delivered on the same day as the defeat of Commander Sisera and King Jabin on the day of the victory. So, now we come next to the prelude of Deborah's song, and it is part of Deborah's song. It's not just written by the writer to introduce it, this introduction, but here is the prelude to the song, and it introduces the reason for the song. The prelude of the song gives us the reason for the song here in verse 2. That the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. The reason for the song is found here in these words. The leaders led and the people volunteered. Now, while these two statements seem very simple and seem very innocent, I'm telling you they are not. Because these two statements are actually statements of both congratulations and also condemnation of leaders and people in Israel, because for more than 20 years they were in rebellion against the Lord, and finally, leaders had come to the point to be in obedience to the Lord's command and to be obedient to Him. And what took so long? They would not have been under this oppression of King Jabin had they not been in disobedience to the Lord. So this reason for the song is that now leaders have led and people have volunteered. They have risen up. Deborah's statement also is this praise that I'm talking about here for those currently in the leadership and the willingness of these people to follow the leaders. It is amazing how such statements can seem so simple and seem so innocent, and yet they can be both a condemnation and a praise at the same time. And you'll understand that as we go on through this, when we get on through into this song. But both seem to always be the case. Statements like this are praises and they're also condemnations. So when praise is given to one group or to another, it is usually done because of personal unhappiness with the previous state of things. We say, I like what you did, I thank you for what you did, because we're unhappy with something that's been done a different way. Nevertheless, under Deborah's strong leadership, even facing the threat of death for rebelling against King Jabin, the people mustered the strength to volunteer to put their lives on the line for the freedom of Israel, to be free and to be a sovereign nation. Therefore, the strong leaders and people of Israel showed themselves to be strong after more than 20 years of weakness. The prelude ends with, "Bless the Lord." Now, I want you to know this. Other English versions, actually, I believe, use a better wording. And they say, "Praise ye the Lord," or they say, "Praise ye Jehovah." Remember, the word Lord in our English translations, in most of the English translations, is a English way of saying Jehovah. Okay. Bless the Lord, praise ye the Lord, praise ye Jehovah. All three are correct. Now, the word bless and the word praise are almost interchangeable, though, but they're not quite. And so we have a little problem here. The word bless in the scripture means, here's the meaning, the bestowing of some temporal gift. You're giving something. When you bless something, you're giving a temporal gift to something. Now, the word praise means something different. It means to give admiration or gratitude for something that's been received. So one is a giving of a temporal gift. The other is a thank you or whatever for something is received. Both words have to do with something that's been received, but one is an action and one is an attitude. So both are about the gift. One is an action, one is an attitude. Which is the correct word that we should use? Perhaps both are correct. But it is possible that with Deborah, her words here were to convey an action and an attitude. In other words, not only thanking for the temporal gift, but giving an admiration and a gratitude for that gift that is towards the Lord. And so we let that action and that attitude be united without any possibility of separation. In other words, that Hebrew word that we can't decide if we're going to translate it as bless or as praise is a united word that has both the action and the attitude, and it's directed towards the Lord. It's not directed towards us, and it's directed from Deborah towards the Lord. So after the prelude of Deborah's song, we come to the audience of Deborah's song. The audience of Deborah's song, and it is in verse number 3. Hear, O kings, give ear, O rulers, I to the Lord. I will sing. I will sing praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. This song was to be sung by the nation of Israel, but the audience was all the kings and all the rulers that surrounded the nation of Israel. Deborah wants the surrounding rulers to learn from the mistakes of King Jabin and not think that Israel can be oppressed again. In conveying this message, Deborah directs their attention to the one who caused it all to happen, to the one who orchestrated the victory, to the Lord, to the God of Israel. How would she do this? She would do it by singing. She would make a melody with her voice. She would let her voice ring with praise to the Lord for what He had done for Israel, and all the kings of the surrounding nations would hear it and be afraid. Because this song would be sung for Israel by Israel over the next years, and they would be free if all went well. Well, the praise of Deborah's song comes next, and it is directed to the Lord, and she confirms that by turning the surrounding rulers' attention to, get this, the power of the Lord as displayed in previous days with the nation of Israel. Verse number 4. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth quaked. The heavens also dripped. Even the clouds dripped water. The mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord. This Sinai, at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. To explain Deborah's thoughts here, we need to know a few things. First of all, Seir is a mountain range in the land of the Edomites. Both times when Israel left Mount Sinai, the nation of Israel had to traverse across the Edomite land and cross the Seir mountain range. No other path was possible. Deborah knew Israel's history in the writings of Moses very well. She summed up in these very few words the power of the Lord and gave Him praise for it. Israel's ability to successfully march through Edom's land was in large part due to the testimony of the people, get this, of the Gentile nations about the Lord's mighty protection of Israel. In other words, the fear of the nation of Israel was because of the reputation of the nation of Israel, because of the reputation of the Lord of Israel, and all the Gentile nations around heard it and feared. And that's what Deborah's doing with this song when she starts off to the rulers and everyone of these surrounding nations. If you remember, from our study of the crossing of the Red Sea, the news of Pharaoh's losses quickly spread to all the surrounding nations and struck fear in the hearts of those nations so that they would not come against Israel positioned there at Mount Sinai. Who would want to go up against a nation protected by such a powerful God? Consider the ability of these masses of nations, these masses of the nation of Israel, under Moses' leadership, to survive those months in the Edomite land, all bunched up together in one massive camp. Edom is not a well-watered land. It's a dry, it's a parched land with little water that's available. By the time of Moses, the Jordan River no longer flowed through the land. The creation of the Dead Sea at the time of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah stopped the river. The old river valley was still there, but no water was in it. How would Israel survive? How would the animals drink? Only by the dripping of the rains from heaven. All were signs of the presence of the Lord. But for the Israelites, while they were camped at Mount Sinai, the people were constantly reminded of the Lord's presence by that quaking of the Sinai mountain range. Quakes are felt for miles, folks. And no doubt the nations living around Israel while they were camped at Mount Sinai felt the quakes and they spread the word. Because of the Lord, Israel was blessed. We know the background of Israel's song. Nevertheless, she included a short synopsis of the trouble Israel had been in for the last 20 years. That's the background of this song. And it includes names to indicate when the trouble began. And we find that in verse number 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, look at this. The highways were deserted. And travelers went by roundabout ways. The pleasantry ceased. They ceased in Israel. Until I, Deborah, arose. Until I arose, a mother in Israel. New gods were chosen. The war was in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, the volunteers among the people. Bless the Lord. Deborah mentioned Shamgar and Jael. Shamgar was mentioned at the end of chapter 3 for the purpose of telling us that Shamgar served as a judge in some capacity after the death of Ehud. Jael was mentioned to us in the middle of chapter 4. She was the woman who drove the tent peg through the temples of Caesarea's head. Caesarea was the commander of the defeated army of Jabin. With that background on these individuals, Deborah stated the sad state of life during the days of Shamgar, during the days of Jael, when they were living following the death of Ehud. Ehud died. Israel had been freed for all those years. Ehud died, and sin crept back in, and the oppression came back in. First, the oppression of Israel by Jabin was so terrible in the land that no one dared take to the streets and highways to travel and to enjoy life for 20 years. We know because back in chapter 4 that this was the case for 20 years while Israel was under the thumb of Jabin. Second, visitors did not come through Israel on their way to Egypt or from Egypt to Mesopotamia. The visitors took the long roads around about, the scripture says, and also the song says, on their way to circumvent the nation of Israel. Third, all the nice things, the pleasantries about life in Israel ended while they were under Jabin's oppression for 20 years. But all of that was corrected with the rise of Deborah. The people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and He heard them, and He chose Deborah. In other words, for the Lord to answer the people, they had to give up the new gods that they had begun worshiping, the Canaanite gods. For 20 years, the people were afraid of the army of Jabin that was constantly at their city gates. They had to hide their own swords, and they had to hide their own spears. And even 40,000 people who would have been warriors of Israel dared not show their weapons. Deborah was brokenhearted for the commanders of Israel's armies that would not fight, and the commanders would not lead. She was also brokenhearted for the people who made up these armies of Israel. All of them were volunteers. All of them were paid nothing to serve. All of them were really not really even soldiers. But still, they were the army of Israel. And then Deborah ends the words that we've already seen. Bless the Lord, or praise ye the Lord. Praise ye Jehovah. Remember, the word bless means to bestow some temporal gift. It seems that it is a request from Deborah for the benefit of the people of Israel. And at the end of 20 years of oppression, they needed a temporal and earthly gift from the Lord. I do not believe that Deborah was offering a temporal gift to the Lord in these three words. I believe she was begging for a temporal gift from the Lord. After establishing the background of Deborah's song, she includes the memory of Deborah's song here in verse number 10. You who rode on white donkeys, you who sit on rich carpets, and you who travel on the road, sing. At the sound of those who divide flocks among the watering places, there they shall recount the righteous deeds of the Lord, the righteous deeds of His pleasantry in Egypt. Then the people of the Lord went down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Sing a song. Arise, Barak, and take away your captives, O son of Abimelech. So in this passage, Deborah is recounting the memory of how things were before the oppression of Jabin. Israel's people rode on their white donkeys and sat on rich carpets. They traveled the roads in safety through Israel. With the defeat of Jabin, Israel could once again see those kinds of days again. It was worth singing about. Furthermore, they could remember all that the Lord had done for the nation of Israel, all the great things Israel could experience under the direction, under His direction. In addition, Israel could return to the gates of the city for the Lord's guidance. And that is what they would do with Jabin and Sisera gone. It was worth singing about. It was worth Deborah singing about. It was worth Barak singing about. But more than that, under the direction of Deborah, Barak had freed the Israelites from their oppression. Now, working her way through the details to set the scene in this song so it would be remembered, it is now time to sing about the war that she and Barak led. We now come to the people of Deborah's song, and we start with those who came to fight in verse number 13. Then the survivors came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came down to me as warriors. From Ephraim, those whose root is in Amalek came down, following you, Benjamin, with your people. From Makar, commanders came down. From Zebulun, those who wield the staff of office. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As was Issachar, so was Barak. Into the valley they rushed at his heels. These are the ones who came to fight. But I must tell you this. Our time is up. And so we'll have to learn about these who came to fight our next time together.